And then just part of my exercise, you know, I love hiking, so that's my exercise. You know, I hike twice, two times. I have a hiking group that we hike 2 times a week. But what I do for myself, I do that little in the morning, and then before I go to bed, I do my stretches and breathing, and I think that's why I can sleep so soundly. But you know, working from home, we sit a lot. I sit a lot, and so what I do is I have a rebounder, so that every time I go to the bathroom or get out of my chair, I do 20 and I'm back.
Oh,
Yeah, and so you know, so that keeps
wow.
my body going, and you know that I always have energy, and I never feel that sluggishness of, you know,
When you say
being.
20, tw 20 jumps or 20 minutes?
20, no, 20 jumps now.
Okay.
20 jumps, yeah. I mean, if you have, you know, I'll do jumping jacks, I'll do, you know, skips, I'll do all just to make it interesting, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I have trouble with routines. I try to do different things, and after 3 days, I forget about it or get distracted. But I'm finding now I'm trying to do it first thing in the morning because I have all this energy. Meditation's not good for me in the morning because I have too much energy and I want to get things done. So I'm trying to do that first thing in the morning, get everything done that I have to get done and the exercise, and hopefully I'll be able to continue with it.
Yeah, the beauty about thing is you don't have to do everything at the same time as long as it gets done during the day, because you know it's just splits of different things, all those things that you do, and incorporate them during the day. It doesn't have to be all of them done at the same time, so that's good.
But like when you, I found when I started doing a routine in the morning, because I was never a routine person, I did this at the beginning of COVID, you know, and now my routine is longer and it's better. I do more for myself, for my health. But if I tried to do that all from the beginning, it would be harder, you
Oh,
know. Don't
definitely.
you, did Monica, did you find that adding one thing at a time helped, or did you just get into this?
I just did it in shorter periods of time. So
Oh,
that,
I see. So you,
yeah,
okay,
so
you
yeah, and
divided up
then
the
I
six
added. Now I can actually go for 2 hours. But
things.
before it was like 5 minutes here, you know, whatever, you know, I love to read, so maybe I read for a little bit longer, and I like to write, so that would be a little bit longer. Then meditation and prayer, I do those at the same time, you know, kind of, and then yeah, and but now, like I can tell you, I can do for 3 hours and not even, yeah. But when I started, it was because I was starting something, number one, making up my brain at that time, and it was never used to waking up. I was one of those that told me, please don't talk to me until 10 o'clock. Even at work, people, when I work, people knew, don't talk to Monica until 10 o'clock. Like literally, because my brain was, my body was awake, but my brain wasn't awake. And I don't function well when my brain is not awake. And I don't like to say things I regret. So just leave me alone. Yeah. I mean, my family knows not to call me. Even after today, nobody calls me before 10 o'clock. Yeah. So that's.
I want to ask people about caffeine. Do you drink coffee or anything, Monica?
I do. I drink. I love coffee. I never used
Okay.
to love coffee, but I love coffee now. Yeah, I drink coffee and I drink tea, but I do love coffee. Yes. And I was listening to something yesterday. No, actually, I was in a conference about brain health, and they were talking about, you know, they've been this group of doctors have been doing studies on brain health and Alzheimer's and, you know, dementia. And you know, they were talking about coffee, and they have been studying, you know, these people that live the longest in the United States, how they live, and you know, just followed them for years and years and years, and you know, just to see their routine. And they said, you know, other than if you have heart issues, like you should drink 6 cups of coffee.
Yes.
Yeah, and because there's some, it has something in it that is really good for your brain. But then if you have, you know, issues, you know, your body, whatever, if you have arrhythmia or anything like that, then you shouldn't do it. But if you don't have any of those issues, then it is really good for the brain.
Now, are they saying coffee or caffeine?
Coffee. I mean, well, caffeine, I guess is, they didn't say decaf, because you know, when they
Yeah.
decaf, depending on how they do it, it's worse for people than regular coffee.
That's funny. I felt that too when my kids would be funny and give me decaf, and I could not stand it. I could just
I
gag
can't.
on it.
I can't.
Yeah.
Well.
But some people have more adrenaline going, and they don't seem to be handling coffee as well as, you know, somebody with my metabolism might. I can drink the 6 cups and plus, you know.
Me too. And I have high metabolism. I just go 100 miles an hour.
It's great.
It is. I
Seems,
love it. Yeah.
yeah, for me, my metabolism, everything is slow on me. So one cup of coffee and I get jittery. There's no
Oh,
way I could
really?
do. yeah, once I got, I bought, I went to work and I wanted just something like a drink. I didn't want an energy drink. And I grabbed this energy drink from the health food store. Didn't realize how much caffeine was in it. My heart was pounding, racing. And I was ready to go to the emergency room. I was feeling so bad. And it took me hours to come down from it.
Too much coffee and too much sugar will do that.
After two cups of coffee, I get irritable. I'm on edge. I'll snap and I'll I'll start getting angry.
Yeah. Everybody's metabolism is
so different. You just have to find your balance and where you are and then stick to that. So
I'm wondering, that was a good question about the study on that. Is it because of the phytonutrients in it or tannins in it or resveratrol, or is it the caffeine? What is being active there, or is it synergistic? I wonder.
It's synergistic, yeah, because they said, you know, like when they studied these people, they are the least group that does not have Alzheimer's or dementia.
Was this a group that followed them to see how many lived to be 100?
I don't know which one.
I guess there's several. There was one study that followed people for 35 years, mm-hmm. and then 12% of them lived to be 100. I don't know where they found these people, but 12%. So they studied the blood tests for 35 years to see which ones lived to be 100, and the ones with the high blood glucose didn't live as long, but the ones with higher cholesterol lived longer.
Yeah, because cholesterol is actually not bad for you.
I know.
Yeah.
They forget to tell you that part of it where, you know, cholesterol is actually good. It's actually helps in the healing. But, you know.
Well, I was in the pharmaceutical business when the first statin came on the market. I'm that old. And I remember there were cholesterol researchers from Jefferson that came to lecture to my biochemistry class. And they were scratching their heads. They're like, what are they talking about? Cholesterol is not bad for you, you know? And most of the plaque in your arteries is calcium. It's not cholesterol.
Yeah. And I had one of the doctors who had, you know, I followed the doctors while I'd gone through it and come back to reality that food is good medicine. And this one doctor, he started studying cholesterol. And then he realized, what do they give burnt victims? They eat eggs all day long, all night long.
Really?
Yes. So that their bodies can heal. Yeah. And so, and they never have cholesterol. So, you know, they never have high cholesterol. And so he's the one, then he started studying that and studying cholesterol and what it does to the body. And as far as the arteries are concerned, you know, the salt, you know, if we buy salt, iodized salt, whatever it is called, it's actually, that's the one. And that's why they tell you not to have salt. When you have, you know, blood issues, but they don't tell you it's the salt because it has glass in it. And that's the one it has glass. It has glass and it has, I mean, I have all different kinds of things that it has. And it's the one that actually tears the arteries.
You're
and so the cholesterol comes to heal the artery where it has been scratched.
Yeah.
And so it builds up and then they tell you have high cholesterol, right? It's a huge story, you know.
Now, get back to the salt.
Yeah.
You're not talking about Celtic salt or Himalayan salt. You're talking about
the salt you buy in the store, the regular salt. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the synthetic salt or the chemical salt.
Yeah. Yeah. Not Celtic, not Himalayan, not kosher salt.
Where does the glass come from?
It's mixed. I don't know where it comes from actually, but it was found in the salt. Maybe, you know, when they're mining it or who knows what they put in it or where it is.
Salt is, or glass is like melted silica or something, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So it could just be natural in the mineral.
It could be the sand. I mean, if you're harvesting salt from the ocean, right? It seems like you could easily have sand mixed up in it.
And sand is the other combination as well. Mm-hmm. Sand and glass and salt. And I think there's something else and I don't know. I haven't looked at that study in a while. But I can look for it.
Yeah. So regular table salt is the one that has glass in it.
Mm-hmm. Like what is it called? The one that you buy from like Walmart.
Sodium chloride.
Like Morton's when it rained at horse.
Yeah.
And I bought that because it had iodine in it, but I take iodine separately now.
Yeah, you should take it separately.
Wow. Is everybody taking iodine?
I put drops on my skin. I don't take it orally, but I put 2 drops on my skin every night before I go to bed.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I eat seaweeds. I think it's in seaweed.
Yeah, it's in seaweed as well. So I prefer seaweed to seaweed.
Oh, that's right. I take kelp. Right.
But there was a time I was low in iodine, and I did the same thing. I just rubbed it on my on the skin.
Yeah, it works.
And I was good. Yeah.
I just was watching this thing. I think it was the Jonathan and Sarah Otto did like a webinar. And this one person, they were talking about polyphenols and how good they are for you. They're good for inflammation and the brain and anti-cancer. And this one guy, he has a book on, it sounded really good. Oh, can't find the name of it now. But anyway, somebody else was talking about a recipe where you make like a tapenade with olives, sun-dried tomatoes, capers, and some kind of herbs. And you know, you blend it up. And she's saying that it's good to have this at every meal. It's kind of like a condiment. I said, well, that sounds like a good idea. It's good for digestion.
What is it?
Microbiome. You make like a tapenade with, you chop up olives and sun-dried tomatoes, capers, and like just some kind of green herbs, and you can add olive oil. I buy them sometimes in the stores, but this one they said, you know, put them all together, and capers were really good for polyphenol.
Yeah,
and they say it's good to have it every day with your meal.
Yeah, because that's really Mediterranean recipe. Oh, yeah, right.
And it tastes good.
It's raw. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they were talking about the brain health is really tied to your microbiome and your gut.
Yeah.
I get fermented sauerkraut.
That's really good.
And kimchi.
Kimchi. Oh, those.
Yeah. I just bought a kit to make fermented sauerkraut. And I know you don't need the kit, but it has like these special lids that lets the air, the gas out, I think, and it keeps it from getting moldy. A friend of mine was using them, and she made it, and it was delicious. It wasn't as sour as others that I've tasted. So
Amish sauerkraut, they don't put vinegar or anything. They just put salt and cabbage and let it ferment, and it's not as sour. Yeah. But I just got kefir starter from Swanson, and I used some raw milk from the local farmer to make the kefir. I boiled it a little bit first, and then it was really good kefir, I think.
What is
Samira
the difference
and I
between,
shared it.
What's the difference between kefir and yogurt?
I think it's a different culture. Does anybody know?
Yeah, I think you're right. It's the culture.
If I get kefir from the farmer, sometimes it's too sour. It's been going too long. So I found, you know, making it myself. And man, it made both my husband and I move, if you know what I mean.
That's a good thing.
I don't have problems. He had problems, so he's like moving. So I just watched a video on meditation, and we had Bible study yesterday, and ever since, it was that part in Matthew where an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, I tell you instead, turn the other cheek, you know, that's paraphrase. And ever since that, when I'm watching these videos, that same thing comes up, like about 3 videos I watched since then. And the same thing keeps coming up. And today, this guy, he became a monk, and he promotes, you know, meditation now. So I really think that that's the next thing I'm going to incorporate into my routine in the morning. But now that Monica, I'm going to get that book that you, and I'm wondering what's the 6th thing.
but let me tell you, it's called Savers. I can write it out. Savers. So it's silence. Oh gosh, what is silence? I'm so used to it. I've been doing it for 5 years, so I just do them. Silence, affirmation is what I was missing.
Oh, affirmations.
Yeah, affirmation. Yeah.
Or say good things about yourself, right?
Yeah. So. Yeah.
Okay. So that sounds really good. Also, that before you go to bed, making a list of what you want. That's a really good idea too, what you want to accomplish the next day.
Calendar the night before, because I have almost missed appointments and thought that, you know, I'm relaxed during the morning, and then all the, you know, I was not in the habit of checking my calendar all the time. Mm-hmm. So if I check the night before rather than in the morning, then I know how to plan my day.
Yeah.
Like a paper wall calendar, or do you have it on your phone or something?
Yeah, I have it next to my computer. I just have it here. I refer to it, you know, a couple times a day.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, I have mine in the kitchen. And if I don't put something on the calendar, it like doesn't happen. Calendar is a huge help.
They have calendars on their phones, but then they're always forgetting things. I'm like, do you look at your calendar? Maybe you need a paper calendar that you hang somewhere on the wall, or, you know, or where you, in the kitchen, where you would see it.
I have to have a calendar, a paper calendar, and then I have, you know, I have Google Calendar. So I think they mash.
Yeah.
Oh, the other thing was vision, you know, just envisioning. So it's called Savers. So it's silence, affirmation, vision, exercise, read, and scribble.
Okay.
Yeah, I Googled it, and it has a PDF, I think. Or maybe it's Pinterest that has that chart for Savers.
Okay.
Kind of summarizes it.
Okay, so that's, okay, that's...
So Sue, do you have a morning routine?
I just started something new. So it's kind of, I would say it's a routine, but it's a new routine. And I said, Connie, I sent you that meditation that I've been doing. Did you see
it? Meditation?
Yeah, it's called Kirtan Kriya. It's a yoga nidra meditation. But what I like about it is your hands are involved and is singing involved. And so it's not too, like regular meditation for me, I have a hard time sitting still and saying, you know, you have the monkey brain thing, whatever, monkey mind. And I really have trouble sticking with it. I just get fidgety. Yeah. This is something that you just follow on YouTube. And it's you say sa ta na ma, they're Indian words. Sa ta na ma, sa ta, sa ta na ma, sa ta na ma. So you do that for 2 minutes, and then you whisper it for 2 minutes. And then for 4 minutes, you do it silently. Then 2 minutes you whisper it, and the last 2 minutes you sing it again. And so it takes 12 minutes altogether. But then I started doing it because I read this really interesting article about what it does for your brain. And it's supposed to really improve your memory. But in addition to that, it does cellular changes in your body. They said that people's telomeres increased by 40% when they studied them.
Oh, wow. Can you send that link to me? So I'll put it
in. I actually did send it to you. I'll send it again.
Well, recently, did you send it?
Last week.
Okay.
So I've been starting out my day doing that, and it's really nice. And I'll send the video too that I'm doing. I wonder if I could post it.
So you're doing things with your fingers.
Yeah.
Chris, it seems like there's been a lot of stuff like doing things with your fingers, like knitting is really good for your brain.
Yeah. It's something about the thumb and touching these acupressure points or something that's important. I can't remember all the details, but the article explains a lot about it, why it's helpful. And it's been, you know, thousands of years of yoga nidra. So I've been doing that. And then I do some meditation at night too, before I go to bed. It helps me sleep. But those are guided meditations where people talk you through it. I do better with those. And I do some eye exercises. I think I showed you guys those, where you like follow your thumb. It's supposed to help your brain as well. Eye and brain integration. And you do it the other way.
Wow. I was doing that with my students for a while, but I didn't really do it enough. The figure eight.
Yeah.
They call it, I think that's brain gym. All these different exercises kind of like that. A cross crawl where you cross your right hand to your left knee and you just keep doing it. They say crossing that meridian helps to balance the two hemispheres.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly what that means, but they say it helps the kids.
We talked about that when we talked about Rochlitz, kind of, remember?
The what? Yeah.
The Rochlitz. Some of those exercises. I'm losing my voice today.
How do you spell that?
Stephen Rochlitz. O-C-H-L-I-T-Z.
Oh, okay.
He liked him. He had something to do with the hernia, hiatal hernia treatment, remember?
Oh, okay, okay. I just didn't remember the name.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, and I walk every day, but that's not first thing in the morning. I do that in the afternoons usually.
So how much time do you end up spending on like self-care, that kind of stuff? Just out of curiosity.
Ooh.
Like all your meditations and your walking and whatever.
Probably, well, the walking is usually about half an hour to 45 minutes, depending on how I'm feeling that day. And then meditation is about twice a day, say about a half an hour. So, I don't know, about an hour and a half maybe.
Mm. Yeah. You must be retired, are you?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't fit all that in with my working.
No, no working.
So Jean, you're working, you're teaching?
I tutor. I tutor math. Plus I'm working on a business so I could do less tutoring and just do the business. And you know, it's related to math anxiety and also what kids with brain challenges can do to correct it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So that those two things, the yoga nidra and the figure eight thing, are two things that should include. Mm.
Yeah.
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 So how about Samira, do you have any routines?
I'm in a great need of routines.
Yeah, you have demands instead.
I have a routine. I wake up and I want to smell coffee. I don't even have to have a sip, but I just have to smell it. And when I'm not feeling good, which it's not necessarily a bad feeling, but I have this pull and call to go at least for 30 minutes, which always ends up hour or two, to be in the sun in the garden. And that's just something that, you know, I lose myself until I think there's something that in the sun that I'm just craving, that natural vitamin D. But I shared with you guys, I tried using boric acid, and I am, but I remember it like once a week. Two times if I'm good. I never take any supplements. Thank God I never had to. I never had any issues. But yeah, routines are not my, other than prayers, I don't really have a routine. So.
Well, I think that's a big routine that you.
Yeah. I mean, guilt works. I need a friend for a routine. I need a friend. I think I'm just a kind where, you know, I need a little bit of external pressure to make me do what I think is the right thing to do. But without external pressure, I cave into noise, and that's really not healthy. You know, it's just, let me do this, let me do that, and just run around. And anyway, I do agree with a couple of comments in the beginning, though, about making lists. It's not a routine per se, but I do like to make a to-do list right at the time when I'm going to bed. I never have a problem sleeping even without to-do list, but it helps me start morning. It helps me, it gives it like, you know, sense of direction and orientation, and I try to do that. And I have a strange problem that other people don't. Like, I absolutely hate deciding what to wear. And when I was working, it was just putting so much, like, it's the most stressful moment of the day is to decide what to wear. And it's because I know I have no taste. So I would put clothes on, I'm going to work with my husband, and he sends me back from the door. And he goes, please go change. It's embarrassing. My friends would tell me, please go change, put something else. I just hate. So when I lived in Tunisia, I had a friend who came over and literally like matched my own clothes, like this goes with that. And she would take a picture and I would literally print it and put it inside my closet. So when I open it, I see a picture and I don't have to think. So if I can like get stuff, and I think this is really... everybody has something that bugs them down. For me, it's deciding what to wear. This morning, I just couldn't decide. I was like, I'm in my closet, turning. I'm like, don't know what to wear. And I hate it with passion, because it's the most useless thing. And yet it sort of follows you anyway. So a friend of mine told me, she read a book about habits and importance of habits, and basically identifying these times, like, what do you have to decide routinely? Like, what to cook, what to wear, like make a schedule. And for cooking, I'm a little bit better. I either follow whatever, but in Tunisia, I had a 2 or 3 weeks menu schedule taped on the fridge. That just saved so much time. Instead of deciding, thinking what I have, what I don't have, I just look at the menu and I just, okay, it's this. If I don't have an ingredient, move to the next week or like whatever. Like, but it's right there. All ideas are right there. but the dressing is the worst one. And if one can muster up courage, which I don't always get to do, like just to sort of put those things on track, like put in a spreadsheet for kids. Like I'm homeschooling my son. I have spreadsheets for him galore to organize his day. But when it comes to deciding what to wear and to define it, oh God, that's just like, that's not logical anyway. But I don't really have a set routine other than going out in the sun and prayers. I do resonate with Sue with the chants and rhythms that really, if I incorporate meditation in my prayer, it really does make spiritual difference, energy difference. But I don't have it. I don't do it routinely, but I do it as many times as I can. I think that really helps.
Samira, so, yeah. I have to say that Samira was my fashion expert when I was getting ready for my son's wedding. I would go over there and she would give me advice.
Has to be. You know how bad Connie is if she thinks I'm an expert? I mean, half my closet, people, actually more than half, 70%, 80% of my closet is stuff that my friends gave me, bought for me, or my husband bought for me. The rest is black and white, black t-shirt, white t-shirt, black pants. Like, I just cannot. That really, I mean, I'm an engineer in my head, like fashion, just God. Oh, it's super stressful.
Well, I made my dress because there's nothing that fits me. And I walk across the street to show the finished product. And she looks at my shoes that I was going to wear. And she goes, "You're not going to wear them, are you?" She made me go buy gold shoes.
Well, it went with the other. Okay, well, maybe it's easier to make these decisions on others. It's just on me, it's hard.
I have a suggestion, Samira.
Yes.
But I read a lot about tapping, the EFT tapping. Yeah. You should try it. Try it on that. You tap on, you just state that what you're feeling about it. And see, do you know how to do the tapping?
No.
Oh, okay. Google it.
I have a book on it. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Oh, you can find it online. It explains it, tells you where the points are. I mean, it
helps you make decision, or it helps you feel what is the right.
It helps you overcome some negative feelings about something mm-hmm. that gets in your way, that blocks your performance or your emotion.
I feel like decision making on dressing and decision. This is why, like, once I put something on, I'm not taking it off anytime soon. I mean, I'm just gonna make the decision. It's really, really like it's stupid, but it's really and like food. I don't know what to cook. Oh God, it really kills me. I feel the drag. I literally feel the drag that day. Like it's slowing me down. There's so many things I want to do, and these are just not things I want to deal with. I will look into tapping. I will see what it is.
Okay. And just what you've been saying now, you say that as you tap on the points.
Uh huh.
And then you'll go through it again. See if it makes a difference.
Yeah, so absolutely. Right. I mean, the problem is silly. The solution might as well be something real simple.
Yeah, and silly.
What would you do, Jean? Say something like, even though I have this anxiety over picking out my clothes in the morning, I deeply and completely love and accept myself, or something like that.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. And then you tap on the side of your hand, and then there's tapping points, and you say, "Oh, I'm so stressed out. This stresses me out so much, but I love and accept myself anyway." Stuff like that. Even though I'm so stressed. Yeah.
Well, when you tap on the other point, you don't say that I love and accept myself. You only say that when you're doing the setup here. Then you just tap on, and they say just use a word like or a phrase and making decisions about clothing, anxiety about making decisions.
I saw people do that, and I it's interesting. I never connected it. It's actually intentional.
Yeah, I do it on my students for math anxiety, and it works.
Hmm.
And you just and the key is you have to find the root cause. Yeah. You know, like you'll say that, and then you'll think of something that may be the root cause of it or when it first started. And so then you say that some people will just let you go through the points and just talk about it. You know, if you can't think of anything else to say, you just say the key word or phrase and kind of start with a scale of level from 0 to 10, how your feelings are about it. And then after you do it a couple of times, check in to see how your feelings are now about it. I mean, there's a lot online that explains it too.
I will definitely read about it.
But
to the reason for it too, not just the overcoming it, but it sounds like there's two decisions. What am I going to have to eat tonight? I mean, it's unlimited. What am I going to wear today? Maybe there's so too many choices, and you can narrow them down. Maybe the night before.
So I try.
It's very,
everything is equally pretty, like, you have to see me, seriously. Everything is equally nice. Sometimes I'll put something and it'll be like, oh, that looks so good. And other times I'll put something, it's like, you know. So anyway, there's this just uncertainty and the fact that people care, like the whole thing is just so, if I could wear like Amish, oh my God, I love Amish. Exact same black pants and a shirt for life. Oh, it's simple, right? I see simplicity. And actually, I will tell you, what stresses me is flip through magazines. Like, a friend of mine will come and I have all these friends that all are fashionistas. It's like, oh, did this summer, I don't know, orange is in. And I'm like, oh my God, I couldn't care less. And like, I seriously, like, don't, like, oh, green, this type of green is in. And people cherish it. And I really don't mind fashion. It's nice. What's beautiful, it's beautiful. But I feel like there's this, like, oh, I have to, like, know. And I don't want to know. It's wasting my brain resources. There's, like, so many more meaningful things. Like, oh, I was sharing with Connie. I managed to jar fresh tomatoes. And I'm using them. I'm so happy every time I open my jar of fresh tomatoes. And I'm like, oh, this thing works. And I'm super excited. That excites me. But what's the fashion? What's the color? Why is it wrong? Oh, my God. As long as it's comfortable. So maybe I'm coming. I lived in New York City. This might be post-traumatic. I lived through war. I don't have PTSD. Living in a city probably gave me PTSD. I don't know.
So your expectations, but your expectations aren't the same as theirs.
Right. So I think I know that they will judge me, and it's annoying, and I hate to go back and change.
wait. You're assuming, Samira. I think you're assuming that people judge you.
I know.
You've been traumatized. You've been traumatized about what you're wearing by people criticizing you and telling you what's wrong. And now you assume that people are going to criticize you when they don't care. And it's like, it's been made into this huge traumatic thing in your brain.
I think it definitely
find the root of it. Find where it came from, and then you'll get rid of it, because it came from somewhere.
In Manhattan,
when you find the root, tap on the point. So it gets to the subconscious level.
I don't know.
How long does it take you to get dressed in the morning? Then
it's 3 seconds. I mean, my husband takes a shower like we are a little bit reversed. Like, he will spend in a bathroom an hour to get dressed. I'm in and out of the bathroom and dressed. 10 minutes tops. I don't use makeup. I don't use anything. I don't use products. Maybe just hydrating lotion. So it's not a time. Again, it's just a decision making. It's the decision making, you know.
It's exhausting.
There was the book that I was reading one time. I actually took a picture. Like, how many decisions do we make in a day? Very much, Connie, like, similar to a book that you have. It might have been that book, actually. I read it a few years ago. You make like 860 decisions. Very, very, like, daily decisions, like I said, what to wear, what shoes to put on, what I don't know, what to cook, what to, I don't know, when to go out for a walk, like all these like small decisions that if we can identify them, and if we can identify them and then make sort of predetermine what they should be, we will feel overall lighter. We will have more time. We will have more energy for meaningful things.
Yeah,
that's the advantage of routine, because getting rid of all this thinking.
Exactly, and doing it the night before. So if you can lay your clothes or think in your head, what do I wear tomorrow, and then you just grab it and go and don't worry about it.
And that's what I'm thinking of doing that, and that's going to make me more productive in what extra things I want to get done.
Like, literally, you gain so much time back that you never have to say you don't have time for something again.
Exactly. But I mean, and this is why, again, right before bed, I do make a to-do list. I love it. I wake up. I'm like, okay.
Is it a long list, though? Because if you make a long list, it's overwhelming. It has to be something that is very manageable.
Six 4 or 5 things. Items. Yeah.
And then do them, and you don't do anything else until those are done. Because that's how you train yourself. You do those, the things that you wrote down have to be done before you do anything else outside of those.
Yeah.
Distractions in life, right? And then you find more decisions to make.
Exactly.
That's the noise that I'm complaining. It's just a noise. Like, it's so easy to get distracted, at least to me.
Yeah. See if you can find other things to help you focus. Mm-hmm. And as far as picking clothing, what I'll do is pick out one item. I'll pick out either pants or shirt and then go from there. But I'll
build it.
Favorite thing that I want to wear for that day. I might look at the weather. What's the weather like? Mm-hmm. Is it going to be cold and gloomy? Well, I'll wear something a little lighter, or it depends on if I want to wear a vest over it. What will go good with my vest? You know, and if I'm not going anywhere, like you say, who cares? Yesterday, I had my bathrobe on all day.
All right.
Okay, enough of the bathrobe. Yeah, it was for
it's just a day of PJs, period.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I just know that people change. Oh, I have to do this. I have to change. I go to the store. Once I put my clothes on in the morning, anywhere I need to go, from a wedding to a market, it's like, don't ask me to change, please. Just don't ask me to change. It has to fit. It just has to. Well, wedding is an exaggeration, but I mean, like, you know, something more formal. Or
anyway. I love what you have on, though. That's very pretty.
I don't know what I have on. I'm Senegalese.
I mean, those colors are really well.
It's like, really, it's, like
it's very pretty.
A blanket and a black T-shirt and just scarf.
That's good.
I mean, yeah. Again, it's just like thinking and like, oh, making that decision is like, oh my God. Anyway,
well,
if I ever have $1 million, the first person I'll hire will not be cooking or cleaning lady. It will be shopping lady.
Together. I wish I lived near you. I could do that all day long.
Pick out your outfits for the day now.
How did I pick it?
No, maybe Connie can pick out your outfits now.
Oh, no, I am. Everything that Samir is saying, I think the same way. And I actually, you know, I hung out with the Amish and I dress like an Amish person every day. Black pants and a
top, simple top.
You know, sweater. I always look the same.
Yeah, but Connie, you dress like an Amish man.
Yes. No skirts. No skirts.
Oh, my God.
It sounds like having anxiety over it, and that's blocking you from making.
I think it's if I have an anxiety, it's probably that, and the reason the negativity towards it is it's an anxiety, and it's really, and what makes me upset, again, like real problems, people have real problems and they've tried to find real solutions, but like this sounds so stupid, and yet it's almost embarrassing.
That's your thing. It's not stupid. Yeah, I think also the wordings that you use also suppress
it. It's really basically, when I say stupid, I mean not essential.
Yeah,
really, I deem it not essential, and the fact that it's essential to others, it's kind of like, okay, whatever. But anyway, I actually have, this is off topic and Connie called me on it. And I just wanted to share with you something that has nothing to do with habits, but perhaps we should put it on a list. I had a really, really bad case of sinus infection. I'm still coming out of it. So it started off as an ear infection. I don't know what I did. I don't remember. I do have, I can get ear infections easily. I did nothing about it. Connie will immediately take antibiotic galore, but I don't think about it. I'm like, it will go away, walk it off. It didn't go away. It actually, moved from my one side of ear infection into sinuses, and then I had like a full-blown sinuses and full-blown ear infection. I was in the bed for like a day and a half. I took everything I could imagine and think of that works on me regularly, like natural antibiotics, different forms of garlic, oregano oil on my face, by mouth, bunch of stuff. I called Connie and nothing really helped until one night Connie called and she told my husband to put onions on my feet and people. Onions on your feet are the best thing in the world.
Oh my God.
I testify it. I tried it at 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm miserable. You know, when just breathing in air, if anybody ever had sinus, like really bad sinus infection, just room air temperature hurts. So I had this scarf on. I was breathing through the scarf because I couldn't tolerate just breathing. I instantly felt, everybody on the call is a lady, like when I gave birth to my kids, I was breastfeeding and you could, every time I breastfed, I felt my uterus. I just felt it. You know, it was shrinking. Like there was like awareness of your uterus. When I put those onions on my feet, I felt my ears, my ear canal. I felt ear canal. It was like there was like brewing in it. It was amazing. And I did it twice.
How do you do the onion? Do you chop them? Do you
slice them in rings and put them on my feet? Put a little bit of plastic to hold them in place. Put my socks on. I did that at 3 a.m. I didn't sleep. I was miserable for like a day and a half. I fell asleep like a baby, slept 4 or 5 hours. I woke up, took them off right away. It smells, the whole house smells, but whatever. I felt better. And the next day in the afternoon, once I finished stuff in the kitchen, I laid down, I put onions again. So I think it did act, but I never felt fever. I was not conscious. I do know when I have fever, I usually feel hot. I don't think I had a fever, but I think the effect was really antibacterial. And I do think that onions have something with sinuses, like the bacteria that likes to live in sinuses, the antibiotic is an onion. Because I tried other things. It's not like I did nothing.
I looked this up because after we were talking, I thought, I wonder if it's good for like candida, mold, and that kind of thing. And there is some action. The active ingredient is allicin in garlic and onions and that kind of vegetable.
And garlic work too?
What?
Would garlic work as well?
Yeah, but it's not as easy. Like if you slice an onion and put it on the bottom of your foot, it gets mushy and, you know, all the good stuff goes in. You have more pores. Sweat glands on the bottom of your feet than any place else on your body. That's why
I can't eat onions, so I thought I could do that because I'm sensitive to onions, but I can eat garlic.
Okay. So you mash up the garlic and put it on there. And this was from the Amish, of course. And one time in 2007, that was the last time I was sick, and I was picking up stuff at the farm and coughing like crazy. And the Amish said, "Well, don't you put onions on your feet?" And I said, "No." And then I put the onions on that night. I stopped coughing.
Huh. So. Another thing, the sinus points are but on the toes, but you just put it on the sole of the fifth foot?
Yeah, it more had, I mean, this is why you can detox through your feet so well, because there's more sweat glands per inch down there. And this is why fungus grows on the feet, because as you know, the toxins come out your feet and then the fungus grows on it. And, you know, that's why foot fungus is so common. But you can use it the other way. Who was it? Somebody was saying they put clove oil on their feet. Was that you, Liz?
Yeah, because you told me about the onions, and I'm going to do the onions as soon as I get an onion, because it sounds really great. If you put clove oil on the bottom of your foot, you can taste it in your mouth within minutes.
It's incredible. Wow. It's incredible. I mean, I just couldn't believe the instant connection that I could feel the ear canals, and then I take them off, and the feeling goes away. I was like, it's like a cartoon. You press a button, and it just I'm so far away. Definitely not included in my books, but anyway, I just thought it was really worth sharing.
Well, ladies, I have another appointment, so I have to leave you, but this was really amazing.
It was fun. Thanks so much.
You're so welcome.
Lots of good stuff.
Definitely. Well, you have a great day.
You too. Thanks,
Monica. Bye.
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 Bye, Monica.
Bye. Talk to you later.
Next time.
Samira, I wanted to say that I went to boarding school for high school, and we had to wear uniforms. And when I first got there, I thought it was going to be horrible. I didn't want to wear them. But once I got into it, I was like, oh, this is so nice. Nobody has to worry about what to put on every day. There's no competition about clothes. Everyone just wears, we had different colored shirts. Like you had a yellow one, a white one, and a blue one. So you could pick between those, a blue skirt and a gray skirt and a kilt or something. But it was so free. It was really nice, you know? Yeah.
And this was in Connecticut, right?
Yeah.
Because when we moved to Connecticut, suddenly my kids were under so much pressure to dress a certain way. You know, well, we lived in Cheshire, which was maybe higher price or something, but we never got that in Pennsylvania. It was a Cheshire thing.
Yeah, I was going to school in New Canaan, which is a really rich suburb of New York. And I went to a private school because my dad taught there. So there was tremendous pressure to worry about what you're going to wear all the time. And then to go to a boarding school and not have any of that pressure was so nice. It really was. Yeah. Now
I lived on Long Island for a few years. And then when I moved to Connecticut, I became very friendly with another teacher. And she said, why do you dress up? You don't have to dress up so much when we go out. Why do you dress up so much?
Yeah. Now I just decided, am I wearing my jeans or my sweats? And what sweatshirt I'm going to wear today.
Now, I remember reading something about, you know, studying about the difference between the kids that wore had a uniform and then if they didn't, and they said that I can't remember it was exactly, but whether it's behavior was much better when they wore uniforms or their grades were better or something, but it was better for them for some of those same reasons. It's too bad they don't do that in more schools.
Yeah.
I thought I was going to hate it. I really did. I was like, oh God, uniform. They got to wear uniforms. I was really rebelling against it. But it was nice. Yeah. Think of all the money you save on clothes too. You know,
my kids were in a school with uniforms, and you just wash uniform. Like, you know, it doesn't matter what you know. I mean, obviously I wash their clothes, but it's like you don't think for them too. Oh, anyway, I mean,
getting hand-me-downs for the upper class people.
Some people, yeah, that's the issue. That's where the bullies come from too, in classrooms.
Yeah.
Connie.
So.
Hi. Can you send that article? I'm going to send you the article, and I'm going to send you the meditation I'm doing. I would love it if anyone else is interested in trying it, because you said that you can notice a substantial difference in 8 weeks. I'm only like a week into it.
I am.
Yeah. Well, I'll do that, because this video I watched today convinced me that I really have to meditate every day. So I'll do yours. You know, you're going to send me. It's a video, right?
So yeah, it's a video. I'll send two videos, because one explains it, how to do it better. But then once I know how to do it, there's an animated one, which I prefer to the lady, because she sings it, and I like the notes to incorporate the notes in it. So the other one just kind of says it. She sings it. So I like the singing part. I think that's important too.
Yeah, I want to see that.
But I did, after even like the second time, I really did feel some difference. And I'm remembering things that, my memory is terrible because of my chemical sensitivity. I get brain fog all the time. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping it'll help with that. Yeah. But I would love to see people to try it for 8 weeks and see what happens.
So if you're talking about brain, have you tried lion's mane?
Lion's mane
is the mushroom. The powder is, it's the mushroom that's really good for the brain.
No, but I can't. I'm allergic to mushrooms.
Oh, okay.
Can't do mushrooms.
That's
horrible.
I can't do coffee. I love coffee. And I can't drink coffee.
How about
you can't drink coffee?
It does something to my circulatory system.
Hmm. Did you try NMN? Did you try NMN or increasing your NAD levels in any way?
No, I tried a little bit of it, but then I didn't follow through with it.
Have you Boba?
Can't do ginkgo. Doesn't work for me. Sensitive to it.
Sue, what do you live on? You have to eat something.
Oh, there's plenty of things I eat. You can see I'm not thin. There's plenty of things I eat. But
I'm wondering about the coffee because Dave Asprey says.
Because what?
That most coffee has mold in it. Dave Asprey says most coffee has mold in it. So I'm wondering. I mean, it probably isn't worth it to get the coffee that's been tested for mold. But I'm wondering if the mold in the coffee is what you're really reacting to instead of the coffee itself.
Seems to me it does something to my circulation. It cuts my circulation. And I got really weird brain reactions the last time I drank coffee. Like I was feeling fine. I drank the coffee and I was all out of it. I had to go lay down. So that got me to stop the coffee. But my hands.
Is this true of anything with caffeine in it, like tea or whatever?
I can't drink tea either.
Huh?
I can't drink tea either.
Oh.
So maybe it's a cocaine.
But see, the mushroom is a fungus, which is related to mold. And so Liz's logic almost makes, possibility.
Anyway. I don't feel like a mold reaction from the coffee. I can have coffee ice cream. As a delivery system of it, unless it's really strong. If it's really strong, I can't. But if it's not too strong, I can have coffee ice cream.
Yeah, because, well, I guess the caffeine restricts your capillaries and your blood vessels. So
I think that's
what sense too.
I have thick blood.
So can you do magnesium?
I finally found that magnesium taurate. We talked about that I can take.
Okay. Because that would dilate your blood vessels, right? Whereas coffee would constrict them.
Yeah. Right. So I am taking that magnesium taurate.
Oh.
Yeah, coffee is like my favorite thing. I loved coffee. I still do.
Oh.
I know. I identify with that.
And when I said coffee ice cream, if it's not coffee, I don't want it. If it's ice cream and it's not coffee, I could care less. I don't like coffee ice cream.
So can you eat chocolate?
I do eat chocolate. I can eat chocolate. And,
That probably has mold too. So
yeah.
Probably that's okay. But what about like decaffeinated coffee? Can you have that?
I've never tried that.
Never tried decaffeinated coffee?
Well, not since I got sensitized to it.
Well, listen, it's disgusting anyway. It doesn't resemble coffee.
I'm thinking of Dr. Mark Hyman, I think. He eats blueberries and his family eats blueberries every night for dessert. Or he has them a couple times a day for the brain. So I started half a cup to a cup every morning of blueberries. I have frozen blueberries. And then I'm also thinking about pomegranate. I mean, isn't that supposed to be good for your brain and for
everything?
Circulation.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I eat a lot of
blueberries, that's what I do.
Yeah. Huh. Well, Sue, if you love coffee that much, I would suggest you try the decaffeinated coffee. Like,
I don't know if I want decaf.
If I was, you what?
Not sure I want decaf. I don't know.
Liz, are you a coffee person?
Yeah, but I've gone to half caffeinated coffee because ever since I read that the reason you think coffee wakes you up in the morning is because you're suffering from caffeine withdrawal until you have it. And it doesn't really get you past your baseline alertness once you're addicted to it. You know, you just, because you're addicted, you need it to get back to your baseline level of alertness once you're addicted. So that upset me. You know, I don't want to be addicted to it, but I am.
I just like the taste, and it's the one and only thing that I really enjoy that has zero calories.
You drink it back?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what diet I'm on. I can always drink coffee and get that, you know, satisfaction of, you know, the taste.
Yeah, right. I love the taste.
Yeah. There's a tea. I think it's Bengal spice. Is very strong, like coffee. You know, you could try something like that. It's not going to be the taste just like coffee, but it's strong like coffee.
It's
Bengal. I think it's Bengal. It's got a picture of a tiger on it. I forget
Yeah.
You've seen it. You know what company it is?
I think I have something from the same company. Let me go look at it.
Yeah.
But you know, for coffee drinkers, I find rooibos tea is pretty, you know, it's a robust kind of flavor and it's not caffeine.
Isn't that more fruity?
No, only if they add fruit to it. But rooibos is a very strong, like a dark flavor.
Let me go check my tea.
The only thing I drink is water. That's all I drink.
Can't go wrong. Unless, Connecticut, I was drinking water with uranium in it. That wasn't good.
Yeah, you can go wrong with that.
Yeah.
With what, water?
I'm still drinking Mountain Valley. Yeah.
Yeah, I had uranium in my well water in Connecticut, and it damaged my brain, and I had a cardiac arrhythmia, so I had to detox for that, and now I just distill all my water. Yeah.
Wow.
So everybody, I think, should have their hair tested for heavy metals. Because it's so common, and you might have symptoms and not know where they're coming from until you test your hair. And I thought I'd find mercury because we were eating fish. No mercury, but off the charts uranium.
Mercury doesn't really show up in the hair.
What?
Mercury doesn't really show up in
the hair. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it's not a perfect test, but it's a lot better than blood.
Your body tends to hold on to the mercury, so.
Yeah.
Deposit in your hair.
But if you take eat cilantro before you do some sort of heavy metal testing, because the cilantro will pull it out of storage.
Won't take it out of your hair.
Yeah, instead of tests, just keep doing detox.
Yeah, that's true too.
They do detox, like I take the chloroxygen every morning and my body needs it. I just need one drop now. It used to be 20 drops when I was chemically sensitive, 20 or 30.
And now can
you ask me it's by herbs. I brought it up before. Herbs. I can go get the bottle. I get it at Whole Foods.
It's called Chlor, C-H-L.
O-R. Let me get that again.
Oh, it's trying to write Clorox. I don't think it's that.
Oh, it's not by iHerbs. It's by Herbs, etc. This one.
Okay.
Herbs, etc.
Okay. What's the name of it?
Chloroxygen.
What's in it?
It's a chlorophyll concentrate. It helps build red blood cells as well, but you know it doesn't do anything bad if you know you have too many red blood cells. I don't think. I mean, you have to overdose on it.
Yeah, chlorophyll's good.
Sodium copper chlorophyllins. Other ingredients: vegetable glycerin, non-GMO, maltodextrin, preservative and alcohol-free, no refrigeration required, gluten-free. 50 mg per serving. Of chlorophyll.
How did you know?
Sorry. Oh, that's okay. Yeah, there's a little bit of copper, 2 mg, and sodium, 4 mg.
How did you know, Nancy, how much you needed for the muscle testing?
Yeah. Well, my doctor who does muscle, my naturopathic physician who does muscle testing, she's the one, I believe, that put me on that. I've been on it so long, I don't remember how it started, but probably her. But then when I did have it, wherever I got it from, probably her. Then, you know, she would test me a few times a year, especially when I was chemically sensitive. I was seeing her several times a year. And so now I do my own. The last 10 years or so, I've been doing my own testing. But, you know, she'll retest me. I'm confident now my test is accurate because I'll test myself and go to her the same day. And that's happened several times. And she confirms. I'll say, I think I need two drops a morning. And then she'll confirm 2 drops. She gets it right down to the, you know, the other things that are in, just how many drops per day. She can test immediately on that.
Okay. Now, does she do the muscle testing too, or something else?
Yeah, she does the muscle testing. Yeah. She'll look at your blood work too. I mean, if you have issues with your heart or your blood or your white blood cell count, whatever is going on, she, you know, has, she makes copies, and I send copies on blood work, send it directly to her. So she'll study that, and then she'll do the tests.
You know, I woke up one day, and in my dream, I was screaming at doctors. And what came to me was, I need a list of tests that I actually want a doctor to run. And blood glucose, I think, is important. You know, A1C would be the best one, because that gives a long-term picture. Hair, heavy metal testing of the hair, vitamin D levels. I mean, what's more important than your vitamin D levels? And maybe a glucose glucose is really important. Maybe a glucose tolerance test, insulin levels, because that will tell you decades before you become diabetic if you have high insulin levels. So B12. What is it?
B12.
Oh, B12. There you go. Okay, I'll add that. But I'll tell you what would not make the list is cholesterol. Knowing your heart rate and blood pressure too, that's important. But you know what, the things that they run are generally, I don't care. Does anybody else have a blood test or something that they've had done that was useful?
I wouldn't know.
Well, if you know you have an issue, like I have osteoporosis, mm-hmm. It's you have what test is that? Calcium, free calcium, or is it free calcium?
No, blood calcium levels are not an indication of osteoporosis, because they're kept so much in balance by your parathyroid hormone.
Thyroid test might be something people should get.
Yeah, okay. Thyroid, adrenal test.
Oh yeah, I've had that.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I had my blood test for hormones, you know, progesterone, estradiol, and the other one. And I know some doctors think the saliva test is more accurate, but I don't know. They were all low.
Well, the cortisol test, they usually do 4 times during the day, your saliva. But I didn't know that about the sex hormones.
Yeah.
So did you, it was the progesterone, the estradiol, and is it testosterone?
Testosterone, yeah.
Yeah, I had calcium parathyroid, calcium ionized. They want to know if when you have osteoporosis, they want to know if you're much calcium.
You're what? I missed that.
You're losing, if you're dumping too much calcium.
Yeah, but the body regulates the blood calcium so tightly that you can't really tell. Like if you get a sudden dump of calcium in your blood, it's immediately eliminated through your kidneys.
Yeah, so that it's so short term, right?
Yeah. So and for the same reason, you shouldn't take blood tests for heavy metals, because they immediately just go into storage or get eliminated. They don't hang out in your blood.
There's a blood test my doctor used to do for me for osteoporosis that was like measuring the activity of the osteoblasts versus the osteoclasts. And I can't remember.
Oh.
It was like something NTX. I can look it up on a thing if you're interested in it. Yeah. On what is it, Quest, where we get all our blood work done?
Really? So I haven't heard of that. The parathyroid hormone regulates the osteoclasts. That's why I thought that would be. Okay.
I can look in these lab core tests and see what it was that he used to do for that.
Now, how about just the with the DEXA scan for your, you know, to look at your bone? Isn't that a good measure?
Yeah, but it's
expensive.
Curbing, you know, so yeah, that's a measure of where you are. But if you have osteoporosis, you want to improve it and find out why you're not building that bone.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, what is alpha 1 globulin? Protein.
That's a component of your immune system, right?
Protein
part of your immune system.
Porosis. It has something to do with protein.
What is it? Globulin. Well, globulin is a protein.
Globulin. Then there's alpha 2 and beta. They did all these gamma globulin, but my alpha globulin 1 was a little bit high.
It says here that it's a group of proteins in the plasma that are highly mobile in alkaline or electrically charged solutions. It inhibits certain blood proteases, which are enzymes, and shows significant inhibitor activity. That's not clear.
Yeah, it's just barely high. And then ironically, my other thing after all this blood work, my vitamin D levels were low. I mean, not low according to them, but Dr. Riley said she wants it higher. My vitamin D total was 42 and average 30 to 100. So with the osteoporosis, especially, she wants me up in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I hear over 50. Yeah, between 50 and 100.
Reference range is 30 to 100, but that osteoporosis, that's not the correct reference range according to what she wants.
Right. When I was doing the vitamin D research early in COVID, at first I was getting that over 30 is good, but then it came out that you really need it over 50 for your immune system. Because vitamin D does virtually, it's a hormone and it does everything in the body. It looks like I'm keeping the list here, and most of the tests have to do with hormones.
Yeah, they regulate so much, right? And vitamin D levels are higher. Is it true that you will have some more energy?
I don't, they do everything. It does everything. So you should have over 50 for it to be functioning. And then there's other things that are involved with vitamin D, like it can't work without enough magnesium. So you also need enough magnesium for the vitamin D to work.
Any kind of magnesium?
Well, magnesium is just an ion in the body that, and again, that does all this stuff, and most of us are deficient. You get it, magnesium is the center of the chlorophyll molecule. So all the dark green vegetables have magnesium, and most people don't get enough dark leafy greens.
Yeah, lettuce isn't just going to cut it, right?
Yeah, not iceberg.
Yeah, well, even the other, I mean, I have had lettuce that when it wilts, and we had lettuce in the refrigerator. I pulled it out. It was there for a couple of weeks. Nobody ate. It wilts into, like, you could probably fit it in a little bottle, the whole container of lettuce in this. It just is mostly water.
Yeah, I think, yeah, getting the chlorophyll, like you're taking those drops, and I'm taking the barley green and the spirulina now, and that's very dark green. I put it in a drink.
How does chlorella compare with those? I've been taking chlorella.
Well, that, yeah, chlorella has, it's green, right? That's chlorophyll.
Yeah, it's definitely green.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be a binder.
I used to take spirulina years ago, and it didn't test well on me, but the chlorella does. I mean, it's almost black, but when you drop it in the water, it's dark green.
Mm-hmm.
But it's supposed to have oxygen in it as well, in some way?
Your body makes the oxygen, I believe. But this has copper in it and sodium. So I don't know what the chemistry is behind that. But when people fly at high altitudes, or they do rock climbing. This is supposed to give them more red blood cells and oxygen. I think it's because it builds red blood cells. It oxygenates you more. It carries.
That's what I see.
So that's for that one.
I'm going to recommend it. I have a friend who, she had her spleen removed a long time ago. And she needs more red blood cells. She's so pale and low energy. Well, I don't know if her energy is all that low, but if her spleen's not making the red blood cells, maybe she needs something like that.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thinking what else? And so she wouldn't have enough iron either, because the red blood cells carry the iron. And I have a really good iron supplement that does not constipate you. Mm-hmm. So you go on something like that, most likely.
Okay.
You do have to be careful that you don't get too much iron in your blood.
Yeah.
It goes into the brain and causes Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
I think that was part of my mother's problem. And she got it from taking too much vitamin C that was not buffered. And that carries extra iron into the blood. And when she went down to Dr. Ray, he told her to stop, you know, taking vitamin C that was not buffered, because that was why her iron was so high.
But Connie, remember in Klinghardt talk, he said that cilantro, they discovered recently that cilantro does redistribution of iron in the body.
Oh.
It takes it from where it's too much to where it's needed. Some Japanese research was done, I want to say it was about a year ago when we were listening to one of Klinghardt's talks. Cilantro basically, it's in charge of how would you say that? Not distribute, yeah, checking iron. Literally, it controls iron absorption in the body.
Mm-hmm. So it balances it, sounds like.
Yeah, it redistributes it from it. Carries
well, cilantro it. Is also the thing that pulls heavy metals out of storage. Yeah. So somehow that is.
It binds to metal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
What I understand, most people have an abundance of iron. They have too much iron. But if they're showing low on the test, it's because of their copper isn't distributing it properly.
Hmm. Yeah, well, before my cranial surgery many years ago, they tested my iron, and I never had low iron before, and my iron was low. So
but it could be testing low, not because you don't have enough iron in your body, because we store iron. There's tons of iron in our soil that we get from eating, from our diet. So it's not that your test might come out low, but it could mean you have plenty of iron, but you don't have the copper, which is distributing the iron to where it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm. And that goes along with, you don't test blood for metals, you know, because most of your metals are in storage, or they, and once they go into the blood, they get eliminated. So it's probably true of the iron. And
I don't think they're eliminated like the same day. From what I read and from what I did research back then, I think the heavy metals are free flowing for like 10 to 14 days. And then like the mercury, when I was having IV chelation, I was learning things, but that was back then. And the mercury does go to sulfur-loving tissue, which is mostly your brain. Mm. Maybe that's why this has copper in it, obviously. 2 milligrams of copper and 4 milligrams of sodium.
Mm-hmm. Now, my daughter got copper poisoning from an IUD. And that was, she just went psychotic. She started hallucinating, and she's never like that, you know? So that was, I don't know what that was about.
How did she find out it was the copper?
Well, she got the IUD in, and like the next day she was psychotic.
Wow.
That was right before she came home for Christmas that year from Colorado. That's where she had it put in. And I'll tell you, I never saw her like, she was crazy. And I said, and we knew it was obviously the IUD. So I said, as soon as you get back down to Guatemala, get the thing out. And she went to the doctor down there, got it out. And she said, when she was getting back on the elevator, she started hallucinating, like people in the elevator looked weird. And she couldn't work for about 2 weeks after that.
Wow.
There goes your 2 week free flowing heavy metals in the
blood. Yeah, yeah. I guess that's true.
Yeah, it takes blood a couple of weeks to get detox everything that was put in it.
But if you want to know like chronic, like with the uranium, if I had Like I got the test when I got back from, you know, moved back to Pennsylvania, you know, if all that took, I guess it was like, I don't know how long. I went to the doctor and I said, test my hair for heavy metals. So you have to catch it within that window, whatever it is. And it probably depends on the dose that you got. I don't know. Remember those kids that were poisoned with mercury in that nursery school in New Jersey? And they found liquid mercury rolling around in the classroom, and they shut it down and they tested the kids' blood for mercury, and they had high mercury. And then they kept testing the kids, and after a couple of weeks, I guess 2 weeks, like you said, the mercury levels in the blood came down to normal or whatever that was. But they said, oh, well, the kids have recovered because the mercury levels are normal now. Well, it all went into storage.
Yeah.
They're not.
It went into their.
So were they still experiencing behavioral side effects?
Well, you know, I was getting this from mainstream news, which we all know now lies like crazy. So they just wanted to let everybody know that the kids were normal, no long-term side effects, you know, just like Flint, Michigan, you know, oh, well, you know, now that we're giving them water in bottles, the lead's not a problem.
Yeah, we fixed it, right? Quick fix.
Yeah, and then Obama was out there pretending to drink their water to show it was safe.
That was pathetic. I hated that.
I have a question about B12. I was surprised when I had the blood work done. It showed my B12 level was a little higher than the what they consider the normal range, but probably not overly high. But I was surprised because I don't eat red meat and I don't eat chicken every day. The only thing I could think of is that I eat a lot of sardines.
Oh, that's interesting.
And so could that be why it was high?
I guess that's a source.
Sardines are a major source of vitamin B.
The other thing is if you're just looking at the normal range, it might be the normal range is deficient people. Like if most people are deficient, that's going to be the normal range.
Yeah.
And if you have a good level, then you'll show up as high.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah, I know what you mean, but I thought mine might have been a little bit low, but it seemed like it was okay. Is that what you're saying, though?
Well, I think Liz is saying that sometimes they get the normal amounts just from what the average American has, which is sometimes not really normal.
Yeah. So that normal range may still be deficient.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just looked up good sources of B12, and animal liver and kidneys is number one, but clams are number two and sardines are number three.
Okay.
Wow.
That's a good thing.
One cup of drained sardines provides 554% of the daily requirement for B12, whatever that means.
One cup is a lot. Yeah. You need that much.
But 554%, that's a lot too.
Yeah.
That's like
so one
six
fifth
times
of that is 100%. So
yeah.
Maybe I don't know if I even eat that much. I probably eat half a cup. No, I probably don't even eat half a cup when I eat it. So, but apparently it maybe it's enough. And I take a supplement.
Do you eat eggs?
Rarely, but occasionally.
Do you eat nutritional yeast?
No.
Fortified cereal?
No.
Okay, those are the
things. Connie, I have to leave. Sorry, okay. Guys. It was really nice seeing you all.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, bye.
Now, listen to this. This is what I take every morning, B complex. And that B12 is 2,833% of the RDA.
Yeah.
How much is it?
And I need this every if I don't have my B complex, I get very dysfunctional by mid afternoon.
Wow.
But there's more than that in it. You know, there's other Bs, right?
Well, no, that's just the B12 alone.
Oh, that's just the B12 cap.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And is it under the tongue or is it capsule?
Capsule.
Yeah.
I know a lot of times I'll look on the, and it's like, you know, 200% of something or 300% of the RDA. So I think that's kind of what a lot of them are.
Yeah, the government doesn't really know how to set an RDA.
Yeah. Below, if you're at 200, they'll say, oh, you're average, you're normal. But in other countries like Japan, if you're below 500 on that test, they'll give you IVs or injections, and they'll consider admitting you to the hospital. They think it's that serious.
Wow.
Yeah. A lot of other countries are like that too.
Wow. Yeah. Wait, are you talking about B12?
Yeah.
Actually, it's saying percentage of DV. I guess they've converted it now. Instead of
how much B12 is in there?
Let's see. 500 mcgs.
Yeah, that's not that much.
My body tolerates it. I don't know. What do you get when you have overdose of B complex? I mean, vitamin Bs.
Yellow P.
Washes out.
What makes it yellow?
Riboflavin.
Oh, thanks.
B2.
B2,
yeah, riboflavin B2. In this formula, there's 25 milligrams. And as bioflavin 5-phosphate, 10 milligrams. But the 10 milligrams is still 834% of the DV, whatever DV is.
Yeah, I say DV. I don't know what that
means. Daily vitamin?
Daily value.
Daily value.
Yeah, it's like the recommended daily value.
I wanted to mention something about iron again. I just looked it up because I heard this interview with Morley Robinson and Dr. Mercola, and he was talking about his protocol. It's called the root cause protocol, and it's all about iron and copper. And just what I was saying before, this guy says that no one should take iron. It's very toxic to take as a pill, and that we all have too much iron in our bodies, and the problem is with copper. And he has a whole complicated protocol to address that, which I can't remember the details of, but he really warns people not to take iron.
But do take copper, right?
Well, there's a certain kind of copper that sometimes you take. It's more of how you eat, I think, that he focuses on. I'll see if I can find that interview and send it to you, Nancy.
Okay, thanks.
The other ratio with copper is zinc. I learned that from my daughter's issue. You know, mm-hmm. She might have been low in zinc and couldn't handle the copper. Who knows? Mm-hmm.
So that's a question, because I mean, I think that getting it from food sources is probably better than taking synthetic supplements. Mm-hmm. And maybe we don't have to worry so much about, having it too high if it's from a natural source. Oh. But I think maybe all of us are, you know, take a lot of supplements. Have any of you looked into taking it? I mean, I do too. But getting it from natural sources, is it just too difficult at this point in time to get enough?
A lot of
Are
problems.
You talking about copper or something else?
I mean, in general, you know, vitamins and minerals.
Our soil is pretty depleted, so that you'd have to eat a lot to get all the nutrients that you need. That's part of the problem. Yeah. But if you can get
I think it's really hard.
If you can get your food, especially if you grow your own food and you can enrich the soil, that's the healthiest way to do it. Mm-hmm. I can't do that here, but
because I don't like taking a lot of supplements. I mean, I just don't like doing it, for one. Plus, I just don't know. It's like, some people say, oh, you're peeing a lot of it out and you're wasting a lot of money. But I mean, there are times when I definitely see a difference taking them.
See a difference, you're not wasting your money, that's for sure.
What?
Feel a difference, you're not wasting your money.
Right. And at least on some.
I'm moving more into the powdered, like the barley green and taurine. I started taking some of the amino acids, the collagen, taurine. I'm trying carnitine because it's supposed to increase fat burning. I want that.
My horse takes that.
Carnitine.
It's supposed to increase ATP as well.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I screen carnitine every morning. I test for that. And yes, it's supposed to be for energy. Mm-hmm. Helps you convert whatever into energy. Yeah, the ATP. Yeah.
It's the only supplement I take where I can actually feel it working. And like, I take it in the morning and then I wait to feel it working, and it like makes my muscles want to move. Mm. It's real interesting.
Yeah, my brain stuff is definitely, it really works. It really wakes me up.
How much sugar? Carnitine.
How much? I just take a little.
I take 1,000 twice a day.
1,000.
Because that's what's recommended for neuropathy. Oh. I have like neuropathy in my feet.
And you know what? Yeah. I had a stabbing pain in my big toe at night. Yeah. And I went back on the keto diet and it disappeared.
Oxalates. Oxalates from vegetables will do that.
Well, now I didn't give up vegetables. Now I think it was the blood sugar. My blood sugar was high until I went on, as soon as I went on keto again, it disappeared. Because diabetes is linked to neuropathy, right?
Uh-huh. Was it a stabbing pain from neuropathy or was it a stabbing pain from something else?
It was a nerve pain. You could tell, you know how you can sort of tell. It wasn't cramping.
It's like bone. With the oxalates, you get little crystals in your joints.
It wasn't a joint.
You
it
get
wasn't
these little
joints.
Crystals for me.
It was just a stabbing
like really painful
at the end.
But
no,
it's
I don't
transient.
Have that thing.
I get stabbing pains like that in my feet sometimes. Yeah. But I've had this weird thing for a month or two. My left big toe. It sometimes it feels tingling. Sometimes it feels like a little numbness, and it's starting to spread to the ball of my foot, and it's just on the one side. So I'm seeing a physical therapist, and he thinks I have like a little bit of plantar fasciitis because the arch of my foot, it's very hard, and when I rub it, it hurts. So now I'm working on that to see if that's causing it.
Mm-hmm. I cured that with MSM.
Uh huh.
What?
I don't doubt it because I've had.
I had it really bad for years. I had it and they couldn't get rid of it. And then my feet killed me when I got out of bed. And I finally found an MSM that worked for me.
Oh, MSM?
Wow.
MSM,
Oh, okay.
Got rid of the inflammation and it never came back.
Oh, MSM for inflammation.
Wow.
Well, plantar fasciitis. Well, it's inflammation.
Yeah. We talked about this before, but the benfotiamine form of thiamine is supposed to protect against nerve pain.
That's right.
Yeah.
That called again, Sue?
Benfotiamine. Did I say it right, Connie?
Yeah. It's the fat-soluble form of B1.
Right. It's synthetic because they did something to change it to make it more absorbable. Because if you take a pill of thiamine, you don't really absorb it, but this one you do.
Yeah.
My formula has thiamine as B1 as thiamine HCl.
That's just regular thiamine, I think.
Yeah, hydrochloride.
Going back, the lion's mane is for memory and nerve support.
Yeah, I gave it to my dog.
We were talking about natural forms of some minerals. New Chep, I like this. It tests better than the zinc picolinate. Fermented zinc complex. They make fermented.
Wow.
And then there's organic plant calcium that they also make.
Hmm.
Plant-based by New Chep.
That's probably really good. Yeah, so Nancy. Nancy, you're taking vitamin K2 for your osteoporosis, right?
Yes.
Okay, just checking.